Actually ministered were taken right out of my mouth. especially in connection with the Holy Scriptures. You know, I was raised in a Christian system that didn't say anything to me about the living Word of God.
And would have the living Word of God in their hands. Now listen to this. They're talking about something that the world is, you might say, has cast out of their society. The Word of God. They don't want it in the schools. They don't want it in businesses. They don't want to have a remnant of it put up on a billboard anywhere. But listen to what the translators said. They said, "But among all our joys, there is no one that more filled our hearts than the blessed continuance of the preaching of God's sacred word among us, which is that inestimable treasure which excelleth all the riches of the earth, because the fruit thereof extendeth itself not only to the time spent in this transitory world, but directeth and disposeth men unto that eternal happiness which is above in heaven." Have you heard anything more glorious to describe what we are going to be talking from tonight, this book? There's a preacher out in the United States, and when he closes his little piece of ministry, he says, "Please tune in with me tomorrow, and we will read some more from this blessed old book." I like that. This blessed old book. It's the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And when Peter was talking about this being born again that we heard about today, that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The flower fadeth, and the grass withereth, but the word of God lives and abides forever. And then Peter says, and this is the gospel, this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. To experience a change in your life. Because you know if you're here tonight, as an unsaved person, I believe your conscience witnesses to you, whether you're saved or you're lost. And above all, even though you may be feeding on ashes tonight and have a deceived heart, God knows your heart besides. So whether you've fooled your brother or your sister, whether you've been able to deceive your father and your mother, God knows your heart. And He has us here tonight preaching this blessed old book with the thoughts of God in it to tell you that God is not willing that you should perish in that state. He does not want you to pass from time to eternity in your sin. We were admonished this afternoon that the old idea of man being a sinner is old-fashioned anymore. But this word teaches the contrary. There are many, many stories of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels that are vivid pictures of man in his natural estate. When you think of a leper, when you think of a blind man, when you think of a paralytic, and as we've had in our meetings, when you think of a dead man, those are the objects that God has set His heart on. And through the Lord Jesus, He would have us to tell you tonight, be ye reconciled to God. You are at enmity with Him. Now I know I'm looking in the faces of quite a few young people. And it may be that you have not learned very much about what you are by nature. But the Bible tells us when we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, God sent forth His Son. And you know, I can remember, brethren, And little did I realize what it meant. But when I was in high school, for whatever reason, this English teacher said, you know, it would be good if we could discuss religion in this class. Now, who would like to raise their hand for it? Who would like to raise their hand against it? Up went my hand. You know, I was a professing Christian at the time. But I didn't realize, and as I've thought about that, there was a little indication of what was abiding in my soul, that by nature I didn't want to commit to one who loved me so. And there were those, praise the Lord's name for them, in high school that tried to get me involved and say, we're having some Bible studies. You know, my little world was too much to say yes. And I was afraid, I know I was afraid, that I would have to give up something in my natural thinking, that I would have to give up something if I committed myself to this way of life. Oh, what wonderful grace tonight, that God is not willing that you should perish. And perish you will if you die in your sin. It was just a week ago, three young people in the city of Walla Walla, Washington. One of the boys, 17 years old, he said to his mom, Mom, some of us are going to go out for a ride. We'll be back in a little while. Before the night was over, they three were dead. Had no intention of going out. And as far as we know, I haven't heard all of the details yet, but it doesn't sound like they were going out to have a bash. They just wanted to go out for a ride. You know, young people, my wife said later, and how it struck me, in speaking to some people on our way over here, she said to him, a man, you know, you may put your shoes on in the morning, but you don't know who's going to take them off at night. Where will you spend eternity? Now, if you can say Christ is my Savior, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that I can say that. You know, this precious old book, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Princes, you don't need to turn. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Well, I just thought, here is a person that valued, that esteemed the word of God. In fact, it speaks about some who esteemed the word even more than their necessary food. Why is that? Because it's the word of God that lives and abides forever. And I would like to turn now to Romans chapter 1. It was interesting that was turned to today. And it's not that we're going to try to necessarily teach the gospel, although this is what the Apostle Paul's desire was when he wrote this letter. It was a view that that he wanted to come and preach this gospel to them. But let's start with chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, as we learn today. Now, the first thing that the writer of this epistle is he's speaking about the gospel of God. And what I want to just, shall I say, capitalize on as we go through this chapter is to look at these expressions that tell us what God is like. And we are indebted to the inspiration of Scripture to understand these things, the revelation that God has made in His Word. Holy prophets spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And when He says in verse 2, which He had promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, where did they get those? They got them because God instituted these lips of these holy prophets to speak about His beloved Son. And you know, I think it was one of the early writers that said, the whole object of this book is to make Christ great. He is the theme of our song. He is the one tonight that is the only Savior of sinners. He is the only one. We heard in the first address today, and yesterday, about a Buddhist or about a Hindu person, and how that all they had as they took refuge in these religions was to find out that they were still in the pit. Still there, not redeemed, not delivered from it. But we are indebted to the great mercy of God to give us this inspired volume that we might know the gospel of God. Now, it's often been said that the book of Romans is like a courtroom drama. And God is the judge. But have you ever heard of a judge that is for you? I think that verse was quoted too. This I know, that God is for me. And even though you may be tonight in your sin, God is for you. He wants to deliver you from the condemnation that is over your head as the one who is part of those, it says in chapter 3, that the whole world may become guilty before God. There is none righteous. No, not one. And we know that the Jewish people this very day are plagued with this one thing, that they go about to establish their own righteousness and being ignorant of the righteousness of God. How are they ever going to understand? Not until they say Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But this gospel is from the heart of God Himself to you. And this one who is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, He's sending you tonight glad tidings, good news, that He has a Savior that He sent into this world who died for our sins according to these very Scriptures, who was buried, and who was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and by His own glory because He accomplished a redemption that was totally suitable to the nature of God, and raised Him by His own glory and set Him at His right hand, that your faith and your hope might be in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a story, what a gospel. And it's for you tonight, this gospel of God. But it's all about the Son of God. You know, there was a woman who, I guess it was during the days when Mr. Bush, not then the president, but he was the governor of the state of Texas. And there was a young woman that committed a crime. Her name was Carla Faye Tucker. Perhaps some of you have read or heard of her. But she was involved in a most terrible murder and was indicted for murder and eventually sentenced to die in the state of Texas. This woman I saw the picture of her as she came into the courtroom. And I want to tell you, if there was anybody who had the look of one who was under the dominion of Satan, it was her. The rebellion, the hatred, the lack of the fear of God was written all over her face. Someone, sometime, while she was in there, told her about the gospel of God. And she was saved through the Lord Jesus. And just prior to her death, there was a Christian journalist who had access to Carla. And she took opportunity as she was able, when they allowed her to stand between, of course, there was a wall between her and this woman. And they were talking back and forth. And she said, this journalist said, "Well, Carla, if you were able to send a message to the people of this United States," she said, "what would your message be for them?" You know what she said? "It's not about me." She said, "It's all about him." She wanted the people to know she was worthless, but she was a child of God, and that everything she had was bound up in this one, his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God with power. And so I say tonight, dear friend, there is only one person that can deliver you from the path of sin that you may be on tonight. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. You know, it's resident in the heart of man. You talk to anybody, especially that they haven't come to Christ yet, and as soon as you begin to tell them something about the Lord Jesus, they'll begin to talk to you about attending church. They'll talk about, "Well, you know I'm not what I should be, but I would like to, dot, dot, dot." It's there. Somehow we think that God is the kind of person that, as long as I just turned over a new leaf somehow, he would receive me. After all, I'm doing the best I can. You know, the prophet Isaiah, he had an estimation of man, the sinner. And he said, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, maybe I've got it the other way around, or it's the other way, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is only bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. Oh, could we ever have an estimation like that and realize that that's me as God looks through my soul. And he knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. Are you trying to cover up tonight? Are you trying to live a double life? Maybe at this point, my wife and I just started reading a book. In fact, we finished it. It's about a young man who, at the beginning of World War II, in 1943, he would have been, I guess, 17 years old at the time, 17 or 18. And he began to feel, as most young men in this United States, that if there was a war, he certainly would have an obligation to serve in the whatever. And as he got to thinking about it, he started thinking about the fact that if he did go into the service, he may be facing death. Now, the thing that's so salient about this is that he was raised in the Bible Belt, as we say, quote-unquote, and he was one who went to church all the time. He knew what the Bible said. He knew that there was salvation in Christ. But you know what? He didn't have peace. This is what he said. Growing up, I was absolutely convinced that God existed. But before reporting to boot camp, the reality of war and likelihood of my death began to grip my soul. I asked myself questions like, why was I placed upon this earth? What is the real meaning of life? What if I don't make it back? Am I ready to stand before God and give account for my life? Just think of those questions, dear friends. Are you ready to give an account for your life? Is your record stained with the sins of your youth? Despite my church-going ways and other religious practices, highly acceptable and expected in my Bible Belt culture, I realized I had no real relationship with God. Does this describe anyone in this room? He was distant, not personal. He was distant, not personal. I guess he was 19. As a 19-year-old, I really had no faith, no passion to glorify God, no real hunger to hear the sound of his voice in the scripture and obediently serve him, no real desire to commune with him in prayer. I realized my best efforts fell far short of his standards. I was scared. My fear of death in war suddenly paled in insignificance. My sin condemned me to an eternal hell, and I knew it. I needed mercy. I needed forgiveness. I needed a Savior. Let me tell you, this Savior that he realized that he needed is alive forevermore, and he's living in the glory of God tonight, waiting for you to receive him as your Savior. What a Savior. This man took the Lord at that time. He ended up as a Marine on a battleship called the USS Indianapolis. There's a lot of details I won't go into, but as it ended up, they were shot, or they were hit by 3 torpedoes. And of the 39 men that were in the Marine Corps that were on board that ship with the Navy men, only 9 of his 39 lived. But what happened was the ship went down in 14 minutes. They were totally, totally surprised by that attack. And for 4.5 days, they were in shark-infested waters. You know, it's one thing to be in shark-infested waters on a life raft. It's another thing to have your legs dangling in the water, and these man-eating creatures are coming to take a leg off. It was horrible. But you know that man, because he had peace with God, because he had faith in the Lord Jesus, he had peace with God. And in God's great mercy, he and 317 men made it through. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk thou in the sight of thy, or walk thou in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Do you think that the God that made you looks lightly on the fact that you despise his claims? Or indifferently think, well, what difference does it make? If you knew there was but a step between you and death, would it make a difference? I know that if you were faced with the grim reaper tonight, if you had to give an answer to God, and you passed through this, through death as a sinner, not saved, I'm telling you, you ought to fear. It's a fearful thing to know about these things and not to receive Christ as Savior. Yea, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. I'm just going to go ahead because of time. I want to just call attention to these expressions. Beloved of God. Verse 10, the will of God. Verse 16, the power of God. Verse 17, the righteousness of God. And we're going to stop there. You know, where would it put you if you were to receive the Lord Jesus tonight? You know, one thing that you would gain a whole new set of friends. I'll tell you that. And those old cronies that maybe you kick around with, as soon as you tell them you belong to this one who gave his life a ransom for many, as soon as you tell them that, they're no longer your close friends anymore. And you will have the children of God for your companions. And you will be in a position of being beloved of God. That's what it says here. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. And then he speaks about the will of God in verse 10. You know, I don't know what to say about this particular one, but I do know there's a number of scriptures that tell us what the will of God is. It's one thing to have a desire to be in the way of that will, but for our purposes tonight, what is the will of God? Well, number one, we can say that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. To come to the knowledge of the truth. He is also willing, shall I say, not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the one who exemplified this will, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, he said, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Yes, now to come from darkness into light is to partake of a heavenly calling, to have a portion beyond the heavens. You know, one of the writers one time said that this call of God that he's making to us speaks of an hour when the world is forever gone. Ponder that, dear friend. This little world that is your little world, the inhabitants of it, which are really just little men, it's all going to be over. Just as we sat for breakfast these last 2 days, they have a television going up there showing the different accidents and all kinds of things that they broadcast. And I just thought, maybe this morning, somebody is going to say to the moderator, sir, we have a message. Something very mysterious has happened. We don't know what it is, but all of a sudden, thousands upon thousands of people are gone. Washington, D.C. has been bereft of a number of politicians. You know what that means? That means Christ had come. And I can't even begin to imagine what it will be like at that moment And make sure that you're not among that company that has said, tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to come. And the very one that paid for your debt so great, so deep, so red like crimson, he is the one that went to the cross for you, gave his life in love for your soul. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. The will of God. And the Lord Jesus also said that it was not the will of his Father that anyone should perish. But if they died in this world, he would raise them up at the last day. Everyone that receives Christ is a child of resurrection. And should you pass into that region beyond, you're marked for glory. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Verse 18 says, now we're going to come to another portion of this chapter where it's going to talk about and it's going to enumerate the sins of the heathen world. This judge who is writing this, or shall I say, Paul who is writing this in the character of a judge in a courtroom scene, he's now going to present his case. And he's going to look at he's going to survey the children of men in three different ways. And the first one, and this is all we're going to do tonight, is to look at the world of heathen, bedarkened men. So he speaks about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now in the Old Testament, those that were in relationship with God, they called to him, and when some foreign enemy came in, he worked on their behalf and governmentally removed them so that his own people would be saved. It was called the government of his hand over his people. So that he dealt in different ways. He also dealt with his own people. Because God is light. But now, since the Lord Jesus has come, it tells us that the wrath of God is revealed. And we have the whole of the New Testament to tell us, not just the fact that God may put his hand in a governmental way in the affairs of men. I don't say he doesn't do that. Note the landslides. Note the hurricanes. Note the winds. God is not winking at men's sins. But tonight, the wrath of God has been revealed and the intrinsic holiness of who he is has been revealed. So do you do well like Felix? If we talk about righteousness and temperance and judgment about to come, you do well to tremble. I'm thankful I'm saved. I remember the first time, I've said this before, but first time I went to a gospel meeting, to my memory, to a conference. I sat in the front row with our brother Dave Whitaker. And for the first half hour, our brother Albert, shall I say, lowered the boom on the sinner. And I was already a Christian. But I remember him, he was pressing that thought that man was a total wreck, could never reach the shore. And he delineated all the different ways that men, boys and girls, needed that precious Savior. And by the time he was done, I just turned to Dave and I said, brother, aren't you glad you're saved? And so it is. Would anyone here tonight, would you leave your deadly doing, thinking that coming to meeting, behaving, Doing good things is enough for God. The wrath of God has been revealed against all unrighteousness and all the sins that are resident in this world. And then we finally come down to the last one, verse 32. And we're going to close with this. After he tells all the different things that characterize the heathen world, verse 32, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What can we say to that? There is coming a moment when the dead that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will be raised to stand before the great white throne, and there to be judged for their works, and then to be cast into the lake of fire. And as we heard during these meetings, there to exist for an eternity, having their conscience stirred and not be able to do anything about it. In that condition forever. Oh, dear friends, I ask you tonight, where will you spend eternity? The Lord Jesus, as a man in the glory tonight, is saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You don't have rest if you're in your sin tonight. I can tell you that. I know that. You do not have peace like this young man that I read about. And you won't have until you receive the one that made peace through the blood of his cross. When he gave himself to redeem your soul and shed his blood that you might have your sins forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whose iniquities are covered. Shall we sing number 6? Number 6. Maybe we can just sing the first and the last verses, please.
God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified.
Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee that thou hast and come into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus as a Savior God. And thou hast come that all men might hear and believe, and to know that thou art through the Lord Jesus reconciling the world to thyself, that as they come, leaving their works, their dead works, leaving their self-righteousness, receiving the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank thee for those footsteps of that Savior God as he passed through this world and received sinful men, eating with them, speaking with them, and telling them that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Oh, we thank thee, Father, for the richness of this grace and love. And we do pray that by thy constraining power, that there would be some in this room tonight that would realize that they are in jeopardy. They are on the brink of eternity. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And so we do pray, Father, that by the richness of that grace, they might come and receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We ask this, Father, as we bless thee for this open door to preach the Son of God. And we bless thee and thank thee for the many in this room that know that they are heaven-born and they're heaven-bound to be with Christ forever and ever. Oh, Father, we rejoice in the thought and pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.